Well, good morning and welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get started. We have some ice cream left over from last week's IFCA social, and so we'd like to invite you on your way out in the narthex. They will be serving sundaes. So please take some time to get some ice cream on your way. We also wanted to bring it to your attention. It's posted in a couple of places. It's on the front of your bulletin. There also are some flyers around. There were some misprints last week, and we wanted to make sure, first off, that you knew that we're going to have a meet and greet for our pastoral candidate next Sunday night. The location has changed to Molly McGowan Park. So we'd like to make sure that everybody is aware that that is happening next Sunday evening. Our candidate will be in town with his family, and we'd like to give everybody an opportunity to get to know them, ask them those questions that you'd like to ask somebody, because a week after that, we're going to have a special meeting, and you'll all get letters. If you're a member here and you have voting rights, you'll get a letter that will tell you that the following Sunday we will have a vote on whether or not to offer the position.
What time is the picnic?
Six. 6 o'clock at Molly McGowan Park. And it is right there. It's the first notice on the front of your bulletin. So we want to make sure everybody is aware of that so that you can join us out there for a time of fellowship and hopefully getting to make new friends. Reading from the 67th Psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. That your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Let us pray. Almighty Father, what a wonderful day you have laid before us. Beautiful weather. An opportunity to gather together as a group to offer up corporate prayer, to offer up songs of praise and worship, to hear teaching from your word. Help us to soften our heart, that we would be open to what it is that you would have us learn about you today, that we would walk more closely with you, that we would learn more about what you have for us in your book, so much more than just knowledge, but the building of a personal relationship with Jesus, our Savior, the ability to take the teaching that we hear today and apply it to our life. We pray all these things in the only power that we have, and that's the power of the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand and sing together our opening song, Made New. As a new creation in Christ, we are not who we used to be, but we're not who we're going to be in the future either. We're always a work in progress, but we are new. Let's sing about that, and especially when we get to that part that says, you hold my head up, you remind me who I am, because sometimes we need that reminder. Just like in The Lion King, when Mufasa holds up Simba, remember who you are. We have to be reminded too. Who are we in Christ? We're made new. Let's sing.
Yeah.
Go ahead and have a seat. This is the time in our service for the children's moment, so we invite all you kids up for a special mini message just for you.
Morning. Quite a while out here.
Yes.
Anybody tell me what this is?
Hard drive.
Leah?
I don't know.
What is it?
A USB.
How many do you have one of these?
We have about five.
Okay. For the purpose of this message, I'm going to call it a memory stick. And I think it's one of the most wonderful things that's been invented. They also call it a thumb drive. And this thing can hold any message that you want on it. It's a part of a computer system that has to go into a certain slot and in order to get what's on this memory stick. Now, the whole Bible could be at. You've already heard us talk about sending a Bible to the military. This is what they get. It's something like this that they can zip in someplace and hear the whole Bible. And you know, I can't see it. I've looked at it, I've taken it apart, I pulled it up on the computer. I still don't understand it.
I know what it is.
Well, what?
There's something that you can hold stuff in, and it's called a hard drive.
Okay. Okay. I used to know what a hard drive was. I just haven't made the switch. But what I want you to know is that this, marvelous as it is, and it's an invention of good brains that God gave each one of you something better. He gave you a thumb drive in your head that we call memory. And one of the things that will help you your whole life is if you know God's word and live by it. And if you put the words of God in that thumb drive of yours that we call a memory, and you know that we have a memory verse every week, month when we get a new beacon, there's a memory verse in there. And the reason for that is so that you can learn that memory verse, and then when you need it later on in life, you can call that up. You don't have to have something like this. If you're trying to make a decision, if you have God's word in your head, in your memory, in that thumb drive, it's there to help you make decisions, to support people. And I can just think of thousands of ways that you can use that. But unless you put this in your head, it isn't going to do you any good. It doesn't do any good sitting on the table at home, under your bed, in your backpack. You have to use it. And so how do you, as young people, start that? How do you begin? Number one, you come to Sunday school and you listen to it. When you are here in church, you hear God's word. You use things like your memory verse to remember things, to remind you, so that as you are growing, as you are becoming a more effective Christian, and that's what we all want, you have to use that thumb drive that's in your memory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've blessed each one of us with this wonderful thing that we call memory. And you've given us a book that we can learn, put in that memory, and use every day of our life. You loved us first. We love you now. And we thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's take just a second to reach out and greet those around us, and we will continue singing in just a minute.
To him are all things. To God be the glory. His word endures from beginning to end. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Thank you.
Good morning. The song we just sang was very appropriate for today's message. We're going to be talking about words and the word. That particular phrase comes from Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us see your light. Let it be a lamp for our feet. Let us go in the direction that you lead us. Today, many of us come here in pain with various afflictions and illnesses that keep us from being the servants that we may be. We also carry emotional baggage and hurts and family issues that keep us from concentrating on you. Heal us of these infirmities. Bless each of us that as we get closer to you, we are spiritually strengthened and these issues that surround us fade away. Let your word light our path as a congregation as we consider over the next couple of weeks the direction of our leadership. And we pray that your hand is evident in that process and that we each may be confident as we go forward, united with our wills being aligned with yours. To God be the glory. Amen.
Your name, forgiveness fell upon
I'd like to start with a prayer. Pray with me. Bless this message both in its speaking and in its hearing, that these words may reflect your will and word where we find salvation and truth. Your words are timeless and powerful. Let your words dwell in our hearts that we may grow in your word and grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a little cheesy, but I wanted to have a physical representation of words, because the secular view of words is they're simply a communicative way of representing ideas and nothing more than that. However, I'm going to make the argument in my message that it's far more than that, and that words are real and substantive and powerful. And so I wanted to have physical words. Our words can be pale, random, and trivial. And I thought, you know, there's something more important to our lives than just existing. And one time I read something by Mark Twain, and he said, if you want to be remembered in this life, you either need to write something worth reading or do something worth writing about. And I thought, well, that's really profound, and that's really cool. And I thought very long and hard about that, and then I go, no, that's not right. And I hope by the end of the message you'll see why I'm saying, no, that's not right. But at least it was a start. I want to share something that was written, and it's not from the Bible. Apologize for that. But it touched me quite a bit, and I thought I'd share it with you. Written quite a long time ago. The first most important thing ever written about the Civil War was the Gettysburg Address, and I'm not going to share that with you. You probably had to memorize it in school, by Abraham Lincoln at Gettysburg. This may be a little lesser known piece of literature from the Civil War. It was written by Sullivan Ballew, July 14th, in Camp Clark outside of Washington, D.C., as they were preparing for battle. And it's a letter to his wife. Dear Sarah, the indications are very strong that we shall move in a few days, perhaps tomorrow. And lest I should not be able to write you again, I feel impelled to write a few lines that may fall under your eye when I am no more. I have no misgivings about or lack of confidence in the cause in which I am engaged, and my courage does not halt or falter. I know how American civilization now leans upon the triumph of the government, and how great a debt we owe to those who went before us through the blood and suffering of the Revolution. And I am willing, perfectly willing, to lay down all my joys in this life to maintain this government and to pay that debt. Sarah, my love for you is deathless. It seems to bind me with mighty cables that nothing but omnipotence can break. And yet my love of country comes over me like a strong wind and bears me irresistibly with all those chains to the battlefield. The memory of all the blissful moments I have enjoyed with you come crowding over me. And I feel most deeply grateful to God and to you that I have enjoyed them for so long. And how hard it is for me to give them up and burn to ashes the hopes in the future years when, God willing, we might still have lived and loved together and to see our boys grown up to honorable manhood around us. If I do not return, my dear Sarah, never forget how much I loved you, nor that when my last breath escapes me on the battlefield, it will whisper your name. Forgive my many faults and my many pains I have caused you. How thoughtless, how foolish I have sometimes been. But, oh, Sarah, if the dead can come back to this earth and flit unseen around those they love, I shall always be with you in the brightest day and in the darkest night, always, always. And when the soft breeze fans your cheek, it shall be my breath, or the cool air your throbbing temple, it shall be my spirit passing by. Sarah, do not mourn me dead, think I am gone, and wait for me, for we shall meet again. That's the last thing he ever wrote, maybe the only thing he was ever known for. Just a soldier in the Union Army killed in that battle 3 days later. If we all treated our words as carefully as he treated his words, I think it would be a more marvelous place. And I think some people have the opportunity to say things to their loved ones that they want to say when they know they're going to die. But shouldn't we treat our conversations with others like that all the time? Because we don't know tomorrow. We don't know what's coming next. When you're growing up as a kid, they have this little limerick, and it says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, that's not true either. I've known pain enough to pass out. And I can tell you, I would rather suffer physical pain than intense emotional pain, because it just doesn't seem to go away. And spiritual pain is in that realm of even more severe. And so I would argue that words being physical of substantive power and strength can hurt more than physical pain. So I think they have power on their own. The Jewish people knew this, that words once spoken are out there. They're irretrievable. You said it, and there it goes. And now as I worry about my message, I'm self-conscious and thinking, okay, have I made a mistake? Have I said the wrong word? So I'm being very careful. Try to forgive me if I do misstep. But our words are that important, and we treat them sometimes trivially. Spiritually, words are important. If we look to Romans 10:10, and the importance here is that words are to profess our faith. And I'll read it. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Those who profess their faith with their lips and believe in their hearts will be saved." To understand the Word of God is to understand the power of God granted by the Holy Spirit. And John explains the reasons for him to write. So this is a concluding affirmation about why he was writing. 1 John 5:13. "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." So in the speaking or the professing of your faith to others, you then may know that you have salvation and eternal life. And that is an important point in Christianity, is the knowledge that you have by knowing in your heart and professing with your mouth that you are saved. Words may also defile us, thus being really important to be careful with them. A lot of times we spend great time thinking about what we're going to eat and what we're putting in our mouth, but let me quote Matthew 15:11. "What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but it's what comes out of their mouth. That is what defiles them." So be careful about what you say. It would be great if our hearts were totally pure and we didn't have to guard our mouth, but there are impurities in there that we would like God to clean out and to prevent us from expressing. And sometimes our willfulness as a person, as a human, comes out rather than the will of God. So we do need to be cautious about what we say. Another passage in that same vein comes from Psalm 141, verse 3. "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." I was in a store in Iowa City waiting for a football game and ran across a little acrostic. And most of those things are kind of dumb and simple, and I didn't think much about it. But this one, I don't know. I decided I wanted to write this down. And it had big words, think. And you've always heard that expression, think before you speak. And that's what this thing said. Think before you speak, and it had T-H-I-N-K and a message behind each word. And for the letter T, the question is what you're saying true? Are you speaking the truth? Important. And in our case, when you're speaking the truth, what would Jesus say might be an appropriate question to ask yourself. The second letter, H, is what you're saying helpful? There are many people that ask questions or say things that are not particularly helpful at the moment. They're either hurtful or they're redirecting or they serve some other agenda. For the letter I, is it inspiring? Are your words going to get people to move or to do something different or change in a different direction? I think that's sometimes hard to do, but at least we should be aware of that possibility that our words can either be discouragement to someone for moving forward or encouragement. N, remember we're going T-H-I-N, N is for necessary. Is what you're going to say necessary? Because sometimes we say trivial stuff and Cheryl corrects me on stuff and says, are you going to talk about that again? No, it's really not necessary. And so I need to shut up sometimes because I tend to circle back to the same conversation four or five times in the course of the day. And yeah, I need to take a time out on some of those. And then the last letter, K, is what you're saying kind. We can be very judgmental, very derogative to our fellow beings, to things, to stuff, to how somebody didn't stop at the traffic sign or whatever it may be. But hopefully our words are kind. I'm going to change our little thing now a little bit. I'm just going to take one letter away. And we're going to add three more letters. And we're going to entirely change our meaning here. That R doesn't want to cooperate, does it? And now we have the word. Well, that's entirely different. When we're speaking of the word or the word, we're talking about the Bible. And the point I want to make here, we've talked about how important it is to read the Bible and understand the Bible and it's God's word. But I want you to understand that the Bible itself has power. These are not just words. These words are active. They have power behind them. If you think about what I said about Mark Twain's quote about, well, write something worth reading or do something worth writing about, in the Bible, we have something written by the most important entity in the universe, the most significant event in history, which is Jesus' arrival. And it's the most significant writing ever written. And so I think it pays for us to understand that, but not simply understanding it, but allowing the power of the Word itself through the Holy Spirit to act within us. Let me read 1 Thessalonians 2:13. And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which indeed is at work in you who believe. So, paraphrasing that again, this is not just words. This is not human words. This is the actual consciousness of God. And it's at work in you who believe. So it has power. There's another passage that I really like. We've been studying Isaiah, and we haven't got to this one yet. I'm kind of looking forward to talking about this a little bit more. I just discovered this, working this up. Isaiah 55:10-12. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountain and hills will burst into songs before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. It's sometimes hard to tell exactly what Isaiah is referring to, but clearly to me in this passage, he's indicating that the words of God have power, and they do not fail. They yield fruit, and they produce joy in our lives, as we read through that passage. So it might be worthwhile when you're reading the Bible to pray, Jesus, send your Holy Spirit that I may receive your will from this word and understand the power at which it's to bring to my life and to my words. I got to put this up here. It's going to be a little off balance, but you get the idea. We've got one more understanding of the word. We simply say that Jesus is the living word. But I want you to understand that deeply. And I was going to have Chris sit there with a little bit of fishing line and make this whole thing, like, jiggle. You know, alive. Trying to make the point that the words not only have power, but are made alive through Jesus. And Jesus is really the living word. And I want to go back to a sermon that Scott gave a while ago. He was talking about the creation. And just as a backdrop for that discussion, let's go to John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I have spent a ton of time thinking about this passage. Many years ago, someone pointed out to me, well, this is the very first verse in the entire Bible. And it's important because it indicates that Christ is there at the beginning. The Trinity is there from the get-go. The Trinity doesn't start when Christ appears on earth. The Trinity was there right at the beginning. Christ was there at the creation. But it has even deeper power and meaning to me than that. The Word. Now, I referenced Scott's message, and he was pointing out that, you know, Jesus wasn't in some little workshop with saw and hammer and nails putting the earth together and the universe and sticking this and that. He spoke. Creation came into being. All he had to do was say the word. It was God's consciousness that started things, and he spoke, and that was the beginning. That's why this passage is so cool to me, is because it says, in the beginning was the Word meaning Christ, meaning the power of the very consciousness of God, spoken to us and then revealed to us in real form in the personhood of Christ as the living Word. I think many people think that life itself is important. I think a person could argue that our life is only really important in the light of the spirituality that we're given by God. And I said that Mark Twain was wrong. I'm going to come back to that. Mark Twain was wrong because there's no... let me rephrase it. He said, you either need to do something that's worth writing about or write something worth reading about, and I give you the one that supersedes both of those, and that is do the will of God. You are the action point of the Word of God. It has power. It has power within you, and if you're acting out the Word of God, you are doing something far more significant than writing an interesting piece or doing a funny stunt that gets on the internet. And I think we need to live our lives that way, not worrying about what other people say, but acting upon the Word of God as the power in our lives delivered to us through the Holy Spirit. And finally, when you think, I want to go back to the acrostic for a second. When you speak, are you speaking the truth? Are your words helpful? Are they inspired? Are they necessary? And are they kind? And I pray that we all may be able to speak to each other in words that are encouraging, uplifting, but represent the Word of God.
Randy reminded me of a conversation I had with Scott not so long before he left. We were talking about the movie God's Not Dead, and I was kind of giggling about the scene where the Duck Dynasty gentleman was accosted outside his church, and he was talking, he was sharing the word with the reporter, and he said, "Those words are in red, so they're pretty important." And Scott said, "They're all important. They're in here. They don't have to be written in red. This is the inspired word of God." And Jesus had some really encouraging words for his disciples and for us as he approached the cross. The last night where he had supper with his friends, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." A little bit later, he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. Almighty Father, as we approach this communion table, we are mindful of the words of Jesus and his promise that we will once again sup with him in paradise. This time on earth can be uplifting and beautiful. It can be terrible. It can be so many things. And quite often, we find that we have so little control over what's going on in our life. It's amazing that you enable us to lay our life down at your feet, to allow you to take control, to take the worry away from what happens when we realize that it's all in your hands. We look forward to having this communion with our Savior someday. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Your home.
Some people compare churches by whether they feel the Holy Spirit's working in their midst. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to measure that or kind of get a feel for whether that's happening or not. But we do have a tangible measure that the Holy Spirit is working in this congregation by the people we are sending away on mission. Alana, Scott and Robin, and we're also sending away John Ringham. And John's moving on to a university, so we keep losing some of our very faithful members. But I want John to come up here for a moment and just explain what God has in store for him.
Thanks, Randy. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's great to be here with you all and worship the Lord. I have been blessed with a great opportunity to go to a huge God-centered university, the biggest in the U.S., and I switched things up a little bit. For me, it's taken a while, I guess, to find out what my passion is and what the Lord has really called me to do. And I've prayed for years and years about that, and I think you'll never kind of stop praying about that. But I know that through all the struggles I've been through and all the life I've been through, that God is showing me himself, and he's telling his story through me. So that's what really, I guess, captivates me, is how God and his, you know, how he lays out his will in all creation through each individual life. So I'm going to Virginia to learn how to tell the story in as many ways possible, visually, you know, physically in writing, and speaking it. And I hope to gain the skills that maybe one day, if the Lord's will, maybe long, to go along with my personal mission to go see Scott and Robin and Africa, not raise some money, but I think, like Randy and his powerful message this morning, is a lot of times we need to see and hear things and read them from different angles and get the different perspective. And we all struggle with wondering why God does things the way he does. And in Sunday school this morning, we were just talking about unity and why is there conflict in the church. Well, we, through the Bible, we figured out that it's to strengthen us, and it's refining fire. And I guess I feel that in my heart, if I didn't do this, I would regret it forever, because I see every day through all creation, through everyone I come in contact with, I see a little bit of God. I see, you know, through all the struggles, through all the pain, good, bad, and ugly, I see bits of him. I just wonder, it's like, how do you keep us all together? I just want to share that with people. I want to bring, I guess, more of him through this world, I guess, and share my heart with the world. And I guess that is my mission, and it was, of course, inspired by Scott and Robin. I definitely owe them a debt of gratitude for that. It's one of those things that I feel a duty to my God and just all believers to share this and to learn these skills and share them with the world, because we just need sometimes to sit back and be in awe of God and who he is, and that somehow through all of our mistakes and all of our screw-ups, that, you know, he brings it all together, he draws us to him. And that's what I'm hoping to accomplish anyway. And for those of you who don't know, the college I'm going to, Liberty University, they're the ones, they made the movie Monumental. They helped out with God's Not Dead. They're pretty big Louisiana. It's a wonderful place to be, wonderful place to visit. And I am just so super blessed to have this opportunity, and I appreciate all your prayers, and I am definitely going to tell them the story of my home church, play Christian church, and I will be back around Christmas, Thanksgiving, so I'll be so excited to hear everything that's happening with you guys in here, and I'm just so blessed, so grateful. Thanks.
I'd like to have the elders come up and join Chris here in commissioning John, Jane, who else is here? You can come on up. Most of them are gone.
John, you want to take this opportunity to lay hands on pray for you on your way out the door. We know that statistics tell us how many youth, when they move away from home, end up walking away from their faith. You, in going out, are going to be our beacon and our assist to those youth to show them what a life in Christ looks like and how fulfilling, and maybe you can encourage those youth that you are around to stay in the fold and to rely on Jesus more than themselves. And some of us remember what it used to be like to be impervious to pain and those things. And we find through life that it's really our reliance on God that gets us through. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Almighty Father, as this young man leaves our town to go out in your service, he is going to be attending a school that professes your name. And for that, we are thankful. We know that so many schools in America speak against you. This will be an opportunity for John to build on his faith that he has already has in you. It will help him to build in his walk that he is already walking. It will help him to practice the use of words in spreading your word amongst those who may not know you. Some of the dangers we face come right from within the church, within those people that are just lukewarm. You would have us not be lukewarm. You would have us be on fire for you. We pray for John's efforts in these regards. We know that you go with him. He will be missed here in this body, but because you have taught us how to love, we don't lose. Our love goes with him, and we hope that he can rely on the fact that he does not go alone. He has a home church in Clear Lake that's going to be praying for him, and he goes with you. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We were singing a song about your word lighting our path, and obviously John's path has been lit in the direction of Liberty University, and we pray it continues to be a blessing to us and to him and to the people he meets. Not all of us are going to be called away on a mission, but some of us are called to make certain decisions and to do certain things in life. And I pray that you look to the Word as that guiding light that's lighting your path on whatever the thing is that God wants you to do. And so let us pray. Lord, your Word has power for us. You're the Word itself. Let that Word through your Holy Spirit live within us, that it may empower us to do your will, to light our path as we go forward, to look in the darkness to see which way you would have us go. And give us the strength to go forth from here with your word on our heart, and allow us to think before we speak that your words will fill our mouth with things that are positive, inspiring, with love and kindness, that we may inspire others to look for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm waiting for the day when I am a soul alone.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning for worship. Have a great day. Have a great week. Make sure you're here next week, and see you then.